This is such a pleasure to be here. I had wonderful years here, and the Holy Spirit did call me out of academia. I had been three state universities where I'd taught, and this was the last private college where I taught. I'd been at two others over nearly 35 years. I want to tell you what, young people, you never know what God is going to do. And one of the most crucial things is that we are sensitive enough, because we're coming daily to pray, that we can hear him. We loved each other in the music faculty, dear, dear friends there to this day. And I knew I'd heard the Lord. It's very important to be able to hear his precious voice, because John 10 says, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And that's why the daily time is so crucial, because he trains us to hear him. But what I want to talk about today is the praying community, which we are in our 29th year. And I want to tell you that we have seen so many miracles. We have seen so many changes. Well, we've all changed. You can't meet once a week and hear people pray from their heart, totally honest. That in itself can jar you quite a bit. And who are praying daily. And we have notebooks full of the answers to prayer that have come. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're nothing. It doesn't have anything to do really with us. All we do is show up. And I want to plead with you today. I know academia is challenging because you have deadlines and you have all kinds of things that you have to do. But I just want to say this to you. No matter what phase of your life you're in, there will always be something that could hinder you from the place of prayer. Now, it's your assignments. But when you leave Asbury, it could be your job, it could be family, it could be children, it could be any number of things. So you always, there'll always be something that can keep you from the place of prayer. And I want to plead with you today and say to you, I believe deeply in education. But I want to tell you where the rubber hits the road is whether or not you are educated by God Almighty himself in and through what Jesus did for us on the cross, and in and through what the blessed indwelling Holy Spirit teaches you. I pray that as you get your education here, which is very important, that you will also realize that there is an education in the things of God. And if you miss that, you've missed him. And that's very serious. Father, I want to ask you to help me. May I be hid behind the cross of Jesus Christ here. May I not hinder you in any way. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We count it a great privilege, and we're humbled by the invitation here. And we ask you to have your way. Come, Spirit of Truth. Come, Holy Spirit. And I humble myself. I bow low before you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I want to read a text here this morning, and tell you that one of the precious things about being a part of a praying community is that there are so many scriptures pertaining to prayer in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And it is wonderful to find a verse and see that you're right smack dab in the middle of it as far as what God is doing in your life. And I want to talk about the power of group prayer. And your president has told me that many of you are meeting in small groups. That is wonderful. When my brother was a student here, there were many small groups praying, and they prayed down one of the Holy Spirit revivals of this institution. What a tremendous thing. So, my text is Matthew 18, 19, and 20. And in it, God tells us, Jesus tells us, that there are conditions for answers to prayer. Jesus says in verse 19 and 20 of Matthew 18, "Again, I say to you that if two of you will agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven." So the first condition is agreement. The second condition is found in verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." In other words, Jesus himself, in a way we don't understand in and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I was speaking down in Florida one time and stayed in a home of a woman who was one of the finest psychotherapists in that entire area. And she said, "Margaret, I want to talk to you about something." I knew she was going to interrogate me, and it was fine. She said, "I hope you understand that that verse in Matthew 18, verse 20, where Jesus says, 'There I am in the midst,' that is not our imagination." I said, "I get it." "No, ma'am. He says he is in the midst." That's how much he loves group prayer. And so, I want to talk about that first word, agreement, which means that I have no judgment or criticism of anyone in the group. I certainly am not going to judge and criticize the way they pray. I'm not going to judge and criticize where they are with God. Let them be where they are with God. I have to be where I am with God. See, dear friends, nothing cancels out prayer any more than a judgmental, critical spirit. I think one of the deepest things we need in Christendom today is the baptism of love that comes from the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5, where he says he sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. We need to stop criticizing one another. And in our group, we've been through much on this. We didn't just leap into this in the second year. But I want to tell you something. It's a healing thing. We've had people come to the group and be healed sitting there, and they really aren't doing that much praying. But it's the presence of Jesus. Because we are learning and have learned to love with God's love. And that's what it means, in my name and in agreement. Both of those are in deep agreement. We've learned to love with the love of God, and there's complete harmony. And out of that evidence of the life of God, of no judgment, no criticism, and obeying the divine commandment of John 13, 34, and 35, where Jesus says, "I give you a whole new commandment." Before, it was what was called the talionic impulse. You do something bad to me, and I'm just waiting until I'm going to do something bad to you. The talionic impulse. But Jesus says that is no longer working. He said, "My commandment is that you learn to love as I have loved you." And I want to ask you this morning, are you withholding the love of God from anyone? That is a very grave thing to do. It's a very serious offense. We're to learn to love with God's love. And I think that's one of the most powerful things that's happened in our group. You know, it's something to meet with people where they have nothing but love for you, and there's no judgment and no criticism. And where you're in a deep agreement that the will of God and the way of God is going to be honored come hell or high water. And that doesn't happen overnight, dear friends. It does not happen overnight. This has taken us a long time, I'm ashamed to tell you. But these people are praying every day, too. And they come prayed up. One of the great tragedies today is that we hear very little about the devotional life. When I was growing up, we heard about that all the time. The devotional life means that it's a life where I'm in the Word of God daily, where I allow the precious Holy Spirit to quicken in my heart the written Word that it might become incarnational in me. It's not just something I read about in the Bible and go on and do what I want to do, but it's rather transforming. I love the life of prayer because it is transformational. Perhaps we've made too much out of individual experiences, not realizing that we must come daily. I must come daily and let the precious Holy Spirit shed abroad in my heart again the reality of the love of God for me. And as I'm flooded with how much He loves me, I understand that there's enough love to go around to people that, left to myself, I would not love. If you're withholding love from anyone, dear friends, you need to cry out to the Holy Spirit to forgive you. And for the Holy Spirit to teach you how to receive the love of God and how to let His love flow through you to others. There can be no exceptions. Not one. No exceptions. So, it's a group of men and women, interracial, interdenominational, and it's been life-changing. For every one of us, it becomes the body of Christ, you see, because God has an instrument, a corporate instrument that He can use. I love what John Wesley says, unless God's people pray, He can't act. He has limited Himself by trying to draw us into the recreative process of prayer. How precious. We become a part of the recreative process. And I want to share with you this morning, I could go to so many different miracles. I could go to so many different homes and children and grandchildren and tell you one real, honest story after another. But the Holy Spirit has guided me to share one from my own family. In 2005, my husband was diagnosed by the doctor with leukemia. And he said, "Reverend, you are in the process of dying even as we speak. And if you don't have the treatable kind of leukemia, there's not a thing we can do for you. I hope your affairs are in order." And with that, he walked out of the room. And the Holy Spirit rose up in me. And he said, "Go to the bed, take hold of John Thurkelson's hands, and I'm going to tell you how you're going to pray." He said, "Margaret, I want you to completely and unconditionally release your husband to the will of God, the holy will of God. If it'll give God more glory to heal him on the other side, then I want you to be willing to let him go." I love my husband deeply. But you know, when the precious Holy Spirit speaks, He empowers us to do right. We need His empowerment. I can't do right left to myself. And so I got up, went over to the bed, and I said, "John, the Holy Spirit has told me how to pray. He said, well, let's pray that way. And we prayed, Lord, whatever will give you the greatest glory, you do whatever you want to do, and it's fine with both of us. And dear friends, it was. You see, that prayer of complete and total relinquishment. Psalm 19 says, be careful you're not being presumptuous, trying to tell God what to do. My mother was a great listener of God, and she would pour her heart out in the morning. And in the afternoon, after a short nap, she would say, now, Lord, you heard me this morning, and you know how deeply I feel about some things, and you know how deeply I feel about what you ought to be doing. But she said, I know many times I'm mistaken, and I want you to respond to what I said this morning, and I want you to tell me how you feel about it. Dear friends, I want to say to you, your ability in and through the precious Word of God, in and through learning to wait and listen and know the voice of the Spirit of God deep within your spirit, we have to be able to know His voice. And I'm going to tell you, there is no way for that to happen except daily time with God. Your time with Him is the most important thing you have. So, that prayer of unconditional surrender opened the door for God to do what He wanted to do. And that kind of a prayer can only come through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But I want to go this morning to the third and the last time that John was in such perilous condition. This was September 22, 2005. He was in UK intensive care, and he was dying for a third time. And the head doctor said to me, Mrs. Thirkelson, you're going to have to let your husband go, because he's full of septic shock. All of his systems are shutting down. He said, you're going to have to let him go. I said, but doctor, and they'd worked frantically over John, but I said, doctor, I appreciate everything you're doing, but this is Thursday, and we have a group that meets on Thursday to pray, and I think our Tuesday night intercessory group is going to meet. And I said, John's coming up out of this bed. That entourage of doctors turned on their heel and went out the door. I knew they thought I was a religious fool, and it didn't bother me a bit. He said, you do not understand the seriousness. I said, well, you don't know me, and I don't know you, but I said, I do understand that if God doesn't intervene, he will die. But he's been raised up from the bed twice now, and these people are going to gather to pray. How thankful I was that it was a group of people who had been together long enough to have learned they must move in love, the love of God, toward everyone. There was no one that was outside the love of God that flowed through them. They are not a judgmental, critical, harsh people. They prayed daily. They're in obedience to the love. They're living in obedience to the love commandments. And they did gather to pray. One of the pastors who comes to our group said, Margaret, you don't know anything about prayer. I said, well, I know that's the truth. God knows that's the truth. He said, I want to tell you what prayer is. Prayer is coming together with people you've prayed with for years. And it's being face to face with God Almighty. It's being desperate, but it's being submissive to God. And those precious people prayed and prayed and prayed until they had the assurance of faith that God had heard and God was going to heal. Now, I want to say to you that I stood by John's bed there after the entourage of doctors left, and I said, "Lord, I want to be real careful here. I have seen you heal him twice when he was dying. The doctors thought he was gone. But I just want to say to you, you do as you will." You see, dear friends, when we pray daily, when we meet weekly, we are changed. I don't know if you need to be changed, but I want to tell you, I need big changes. So I said, "Lord, it still stands. You want to heal him on the other side, you do it. Whatever gives you the most glory." But I said, "You're going to have to change my heart, because I keep feeling you wouldn't let him die after all he's been through. But you do what you want to do." I got finally into the special room he was in that night about 8 o'clock, right when all of our dear friends were praying. And the nurse, beautiful African-American young man, he said, "There's something going on in there." He said, what's going on here?" I said, "Well, I think it's the Lord, and I think it's the prayers of God's people." "Oh," he said, "that's a bunch of baloney." I put my hand on his shoulder. You see, he'd been deeply wounded somehow by the church or someone. I said, "How God loves you. But you're going to see something here." And he just turned and walked away. But I want to tell you what happened the next morning. I took my place in the corner of the room. I spent hours praying the Word of God. That is so powerful. When you don't know how to pray, open up the Scriptures and start praying the Scriptures. I'd spent hundreds of hours doing that. So I sit in there minding my own business, and in came the entourage of doctors, and they looked stunned when they came into the room. I didn't feel stunned, but they did. They walked around John's bed once, then they walked around it a second time. Oh, mercy, mercy. They walked around it a third time, and finally the head doctor came over to me. I had my Bible up against my heart. And all the man could say was, "Well, well, my, 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 well." And I didn't help him any. He said, "Mrs. Thurkelson, my, my, my." He said, "Well, I just waited." "Well," he said, "what do you think? Do you think we can be cautiously optimistic now?" I said, "Well, doctor, you just be whatever you need to be, honey. And I know what I can be, totally optimistic." My, my, my. He was floored. One of the nurses told me that you never get rid of septic shock, which is poison filling your system. That's one of the... You don't get rid of that in 24 hours. Evidently, it had been removed. Now, here's what we're saying this morning. If you're too busy to meet 1 hour a week, not to gossip, not to talk about people, not to pray down on people, we don't believe in praying down on anybody. We've learned that when we start praying for others, we find out we've got as many problems as they do, maybe in a different area, but we pray across to people. No judgment. One of our wonderful intercessors, a man who is now living in Louisville, a retired Pentecostal pastor and a teacher in Lexington, had been caught in prostitution. I wish you could have heard him pray. He cried like a baby because he knew the judgment and criticism and holier than this young woman, those attitudes would prevail in prayer. He said, God, we're not praying down on her. We lift her up to you. I'll never forget that prayer, because it was the love of God in action. I want to plead with you, dear friends. I want to plead with you to join with some friends. I want to plead with you to start on time and end on time and spend the time praying, not talking. Tragically, we're so much more adept at talking than we are at praying. Could it be it's because we talk far more than we pray? I want to urge you to meet with others and pray. You will see miracles. My husband, that was on a Friday, when the doctors were stunned, speechless, and on Wednesday, they were wheeling him out of the room to send him over to Cardinal Hill to build up his body, and he is walking in victory this very minute at 20 till the hour. Now, I want to tell you something. Had this group of people not gathered to pray, I would be speaking in a different way. I would be speaking in peace and making an enormous adjustment, but I am surrendered to the will of God. Because of these praying people, my husband is alive. I'm going to say something here, and I believe it. I think it's biblical. I think it's true. I've been watching this for over 60 years. We lose many people because within the body of Christ today, we're not doing the praying that we need to be doing. We're not doing the praying we should be doing. And I believe with all my heart that God wants his people praying in obedience to his love nature, in obedience to the deep agreement of oneness that comes as you pray week after week, month after month, year after year, because he wants to demonstrate he is alive. Our God has not changed. Can we hear at least one amen here this morning? Has he changed? I think he wants to show himself strong in this day. But if we're not being trained in praying day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, we will not be up to doing the praying that needs to be done, which would show forth the power and the glory of God Almighty and cause those who are in our world so broken, so lost, so hopeless to understand that he is the same God he's ever been.
Amen?
Now, here's what we're going to do. I want you to take hold of the hands of the people on your right and left. And we're going to have some moments of silence. And I want you to pray with all your heart for the person next to you. You may think you know them, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and let prayer rise from the heart of each one in this precious, lovely sanctuary, that we might pray for the person on our right, on our left. Oh, Jesus, that you would be so real to that person, so precious, so enjoyable, so winsome, that they cannot go through their day without time with you, and that the precious Holy Spirit would so pray that deep prayer of Romans 8, 26 and 27, where it says, Holy Spirit, you pray in the will of God, but it's not with any articulation. It's a silence of words, but it's a great groaning, a yearning, a longing, a loving to pray in the will of God in that person's life. So we ask you, within each person who has a hold of the hands of the people next to them, Holy Spirit, that you would pray the will of God, which is our highest good, that they might know they have been prayed for today. They have been loved in the love of God today. And that they have been in the presence of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because you have prayed for them. Father, we ask for your precious Holy Spirit to so shed abroad the love of God in our hearts that we will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love us and that there will be enough love left over that it might flow out to people that we find hard to love, that we might walk in your nature, in your name, and that we might find a group of people that we can begin to agree with in harmony and for the will of God, how we pray over this institution, how we thank you for the godly men and women who have served this institution, founded this institution, and how we lift up Dr. Gray in her presidency, that everything that she needs, she will find in you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we just pray over every person in this room. Lord, let there be great intercessors who rise up from Asbury College. Let there be great lovers of God and lovers of people, that you might have your way. And we pray it in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all the people said, Amen. You are dismissed. We bless you today. Stay close to Jesus today. Thank you.